National Bank Studio on State Street. This is ESPN 1000, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
On WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see him in the
shot. No shot. With Cap and J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J. Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Talking about the Bears and their loss against the Washington Commanders 12-7. But at this time every day, we give you a shot or no shot. And shot or no shot is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. You can bet the under in every Bears game and probably make a lot of money. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game parlays. With no football for the Bears this weekend, I'll be all over that app and the club Hawthorne mobile wager app. Good morning, Secretary. I love you. Time for shot or no shot. Here's Snorbar.
Good morning, boys. How are you feeling?
What's up, kid?
Everybody's a little upset this morning.
How am I doing?
Yeah, how are we doing?
Well, you know what? I had a good time because I invited a guest over yesterday to watch the game with me.
Really?
My guy, Remy Martin. There we were together, the bottle and I, sitting side by side, me and Remy. And we broke down the game together. And boy, did we break the game down. Not happy.
Not happy.
Just you're going to lose games. We know what the season is. But just, my God, have a heartbeat, for God's sakes. This is what you're going to look like offensively again? Nobody holds the ball longer with less production than Justin Fields, period.
Just so two cogent points, and we'll get into shot or no shot. Fourth and one. Second quarter, Merkin?
That was first quarter. Second possession.
Second possession. I would have kicked the field goal there. Not gone for it on fourth and one. We don't have Olin Krutz and Jimbo Covert up front. We've got Mustafa and Borum and Braxton. No, I would have kicked the field goal and taken the points and felt good about myself. And then, late in the game, 2.5 minutes ago, I got all three timeouts. I got the two-minute warning, and it's 4th and 11, and we're going for it. And we get false start. Now it's 4th and 16. Punt the football!
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Thank you, Hoodie. By the way, I usually don't drink when I watch because I consider it work hours. I want to be an active participant. I'm taking notes. Yesterday at halftime, I cracked a bottle of rum.
So did I.
Yeah, that was brutal.
On Instagram. That's no question about it.
All right, what do you got?
All right, so far this season, Justin Fields has been pressured on nearly 50% of his dropbacks. He's been pressured at the highest rate in 6 games in history since ESPN Stats and Info began tracking pressures in 2009. Much has been made about Ryan Poles' refusal to invest in the offensive line and his first offseason, and he made it clear that he picked the lane of a rebuild. So my question, shot or no shot, what we are seeing on the field is actually Ryan Poles' strategy working as intended?
Well, that's a shot. Listen, what was the Parcells line about you making the you buying the groceries and you make the meal?
He said, if you're going to want me to cook the meal, being the head coach, I think you should let me shop for some of the groceries.
Yeah, this is what it is, and the groceries suck.
The groceries suck.
They are stale, but this is what it looks like. Absolutely, Shay. When you are going through a rebuild, this is what you've given Justin Fields. It's on Fields, too. I want to make sure it's very clear. This is not just on the offensive line. It's not just on Ryan. It's Fields also learning on the job. Braxton Jones learning on the job. You know, Brisker, Gordon learning on the job because they're young players. But this is what it looks like. You're 4 or 5 plays away from winning that game. And that shows you where you are. So, absolute shot to that.
Tell me the question again. I lost my train of thought.
This is exactly what Poles wanted.
Yes, it's complicated. Here's what I believe.
I'm single. I'm married. It's complicated.
Yes.
Yes.
Ryan Poles rolled in here and told George, we got to blow the roster up. I'm going to take all the dead cap hits I got to take right now. I'm clearing the decks. And we're going to have $105 million or thereabouts, $110 million, double everybody else this coming off season. And we're going to be really bad, and I'm going to have a really high draft pick. Well, there's a problem. We traded up to get a first-round quarterback. What do you want to do with him? I don't know. Let me see what he's like. I think in a perfect world, he signed someone like Trevor Siemian to be his starting quarterback because he didn't ever have Justin here.
That's correct.
And then gets the ever-living H beaten out of the team, and then he can go, I'm taking Stroud or Bryce Young or whoever is the top guy when we get to that stage of the year. It's complicated. Now, is Justin the guy? Maybe if he's the guy, I got to support him better. But if he was here, so you needed to do a little something. I'm not telling you should have traded for Tyreek Hill. You don't have the assets to do that. You could have gone out and signed a competent center, a tackle, and then eased Braxton Jones in. No, he comes from an FBS school. They went 1-11. He went in the fifth round. You're not that much smarter than everyone else in the NFL that there's the next Jimbo Covert. He's not,
Cap,
at this point.
Is it a shot or no shot?
It's a shot.
Shay.
It's a perfect segue into the next question, too, because the Chicago Bears, as we know, are now 2-4, and they will have back-to-back road games coming up against New England and Dallas. Cap, you talked about it. Life's not getting easy for Justin Fields. You're going to go up against Matthew Judon and then the apparent reincarnation of Lawrence Taylor and Micah Parsons. Mm. Back-to-back on the road. Mm-hmm. 2-6 seems to be all but a certainty through the first 8 games of the season for the Bears. That's going to put them very much on pace for a top-5 pick in the draft. So my question, shot or no shot, the Bears and Ryan Poles will pick their new quarterback this offseason.
That's a no shot. And I'm not on the bandwagon like Albert Breer or some of the others that say that the quarterbacks that will be coming out of the draft are trash. Don't agree with that. You know why? You got to go through the rest of the regular season. You find out how they play in the bowl game. They got to go to Indianapolis for the combine. So even though maybe some draft experts are not impressed with this crop, just wait. For God's sakes, it's October. Let's see how these guys develop. So, but the quarterback, no shot. I don't think that that's going to be the first pick that Poles will find. I don't think so.
I don't care who's sitting there for you to pick. You got to fix your GD offensive line.
No question.
You got to find some receivers, and you got to get some help on the defensive line. Our defensive line's not very good either. So there are plenty of holes. You got money. I'm not sure who will end up hitting free agency. Some guys we think might be there end up re-signing or getting tagged. You have to fix the trenches or you've got no chance.
Shay.
All right, Keyshawn Johnson was on our show yesterday. He said the Bears should pay Roquan Smith. Well, timing was pretty good because yesterday Smith was a lot better, seeing a season high in pass rushing snaps. He got home for a sack on Carson Wentz. Unfortunately, the highlight reel was on a fourth quarter play inside the 10. He got de-cleated on a crackback block from the Commanders quarterback. My question, shot or no shot, with the highlights and the lowlights, the Bears should still pay Roquan Smith.
That's a shot for me. So you're asking the wrong guy. I like Roquan Smith. I know he got de-cleated in that play, but I like him.
I like Roquan Smith. He's not a $20 million a year linebacker, which would make him the highest paid in the league, and that's what he wants. If there's a reasonable deal to be made where he makes outstanding money, he's paid very, very well near the top of the market for what he does, go for it.
I thought he played well yesterday.
Yeah.
Thought he played well. Solid.
Yeah. He was fine.
Mm-hmm.
$20 million a year? No. I got too many holes. Yeah, like to have him on the roster.
What do you think?
$20 million a year? No shot.
What do you think, Randy?
I'm not paying Roquan Smith, no. I'm with Cap that you got to get your offensive line fixed. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like the player. And again, the negotiations are the negotiations. That's why I don't talk to you about money, because I'm so enamored with whether a player can play thumbs up or thumbs down, whether or not he can help the team. You can count the money. I'll just look at the player.
Do you think he's a difference maker for the team to potentially win more games right now? I mean, like, or do you think he just...
Well, not this year.
Right, right.
Nobody can get home on a regular basis. We just asked, like, was Robert Quinn active again? This is the third week in a row we've asked. Is he even around? I mean, so I like Robert Quinn, but I also agree with Kath that you have other holes that you got to fill for sure. So, listen, just like any other team, you got to make the hard decisions. Guys that you might like may not be around next year. So I get it. This is like Abreu with the Sox.
Correct.
I like Abreu, but you got to make the hard decisions and saying, how can we change the dynamic of the team? If that means Roquan Smith has to part, let it happen. I'm still a fan of the guy, though.
He's a really good player, and I would like to keep really good players, especially ones I home grow. There has to be a happy medium. I'm not asking you to take pay for or play for pauper's wages, but I'm not paying you the highest salary in the NFL. Not happening.
Here's Shea Norley.
All right, I'm going to ask quickly about one more Bears thing, and then I want to have some fun with a Thursday night football question. But this final Bears thing, in the last 2 weeks, Amir Smith-Marset has made lowlights of the negating the Justin Fields touchdown run with a block in the back, the strip at the end of the game against the Vikings, and then yesterday in the penultimate offensive drive, he trips over Braxton Jones before the drop on 4th and 16. So my question, by Monday, shot or no shot, Amir Smith-Marset will no longer be a Bear.
He doesn't deserve to be on this football team. Sorry. Does not deserve to be on this football. I know what Getsy and Poles and these guys are trying to do, but that's an abuse of power to let that guy still be on this football team. He's not helping you. If anything, it was emblematic of a practice squad player. It's that guy. Seriously. You put him in two spots to try to help the team win, and you failed. That's enough of that. Even in a rebuild, that is to me, disgusting. Come on, man.
Agreed. 100% agree. Ouch. That's a shot. He should be released today. Hey, Amir, come here. We wish you well. It just didn't work for us here. It doesn't mean you're not a talented cat. If you're on an NFL roster, you have ability. It's just not going to work here. Good luck to you. You're out.
You know, if I'm Amir, you know what you do, Shay. It's like my last days at the Score. You know what happens? I was already had my box filled. I knew I was done. You start putting your stuff in over the weeks, and it's like, and when it happens, when the axe falls, all right, got my stuff packed. I'm out.
It's going to be like that Hard Knocks episode. I can't remember who it was, but he's trying to get in the door, and the card doesn't work, and he's just standing there. Oh, they must have cut me.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, Cap. Amir should know, like, all right, this is not going to work.
Honey, how was work today? Start looking for flights out of here. Seriously. It's not going to work.
Yeah. That's how that works. All right, Shay, you got one more?
Yeah, this is the final one. I have a Thursday night football overall question. There have been, before the Pettis touchdown, there were 43 consecutive possessions without a touchdown on Thursday night football. You ready to hear this? Mm. Downs, game over, punt, field goal, punt, 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 field goal, interception, punt, field goal, half, punt, field goal, missed field goal, interception, field goal, punt, interception, punt, 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 interception, field goal, half, field goal, end of game, punt, punt, interception, punt, downs, punt, 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 field goal, punt, half, punt. My question, shot or no shot, it's time for the NFL to do away with Thursday night football.
That's just, you're better than that. No, just schedule better games.
Well, if nothing else, we got breaking news from Waddle & Sylvie. If Al Michaels says, I think I'm going to retire if we have another bad game, out, Al. Enough of your special pillow and your private jet. Out of here.
I thought he might jump out of the booth last night. I mean, when they get to the near Curtis Samuel touchdown and Kirk goes, well, he just mistimed it. Yeah, that would have been a touchdown. Al goes, God forbid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the best line. God forbid.
Look, hey, man. But here's the dynamic that people don't get. On the Herb Street side of things, he's good with it. He's covered enough Big Ten to know. I've seen some bad games.
Yeah, he's seen Iowa play, you know, whoever,
exactly.
Illinois.
He's seen so much Big Ten. It doesn't bother him. It bothers Al.
You know what Al should have done? It would have gotten national attention. It would have been hilarious. Touchdown Dante Pettis or Brian Robinson scored for them. He should have gone, do you believe in miracles?
That would have been hilarious.
Yes.
That would have been hilarious.
That would have been sensational. All right.
We've got a Hawthorne giveaway this hour. $100 in food and beverage credits. $425 wagering vouchers for live racing programs. 4 Hawthorne branded items and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah,
all part of
$250 package.
That's pretty cool, man. We're going to give that away this hour here and take more of your phone calls. All right, Randy, here we go. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus about Fields' toughness and also hear from Justin. Justin Fields and your thoughts on the Bears and a loss against Washington. Courtney Cronin at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app, talking to you about the Bears and the loss against Washington. Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears, talking about the toughness of Justin Fields. Let's go to Justin Fields talking about Eberflus talking about Justin Fields. Eberflus 4. Let's have that here.
I told him afterward, man, he is tough. I mean, that guy is tough, and man, he can get out of a lot of things. And that one run he had down the side, I mean, that's some of that stuff's just amazing, you know, the type of player he is, and the toughness, the mental toughness that he has. I mean, it's phenomenal, you know. So he'll hang in there with the best of them, you know, and it's exciting to see, you know, the guys rally around him and see that toughness, because you'll rally around a guy like that, you know, that's just got that mental and physical toughness that he has. And so I just told him I was real proud of him, the way he hung in there. So, again, they got some good D linemen. Obviously, they got some first-rounders, and they're going to give a lot of guys fits as they have. But, I was just real proud of him.
Yeah, rally around him on a prayer circle when they take him off the field if he keeps getting battered like this by this offensive line. It's on him. It's on the offensive line. It's on the offense for not being able to score more points and for it to not be more productive, period.
I also wonder, and they talking with the guys last night, they have a horn. It's not like a... No, it's just a little chirp in Tampa. They used it in New England, where Tom Brady says the ball has to be out no more than 2.5 seconds. Doesn't matter how much time he's given, 2.5, ball's got to be gone. Justin's holding it for 3.25. That's on Justin partly, but partly because his wide receiver core...
not open.
Nobody's open.
Right. So here's what we saw in the first quarter.
He does miss. Waddle's right. He misses the easy throws sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know why? Because I saw this in the first quarter. He's checking right, checking left. Okay, nobody's open. I'm going to run. Yeah, does that take a time for a process? Absolutely, it takes time. But again, everything has to work in concert. I mean, keep in mind, you're trying to throw the ball in less than 2 seconds to Smith Marset, who can't get open. Darnell Mooney, who's down the field.
Correct.
You know, so keep in mind who you were talking about here. I'm glad that Komet got a couple of catches. It was nice to see. But what you want from Justin, as far as his mechanics and getting the ball out, who are you throwing it to besides people on the sidelines if no one's open?
Agreed.
Especially this core. 312-332-3776. All right, Cap, let's take care of the state of Texas. First, Dallas. Here is Shannon listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, how you doing today? Great show. I love the Save-A-Lot line, but I watch the show a lot. And Cap, he always says, you got to go for fourth down. You got to go for the touchdown. Forget the field goals. We got to see what we got.
Whoa, when did I say that?
We got to see what we got.
When did I say that? You got me confused with someone else.
Come on, this game where you thought they should punt instead of go for it on fourth down?
No. At fourth down at the goal line in the first quarter, second possession, you take the field goal. You get points. Mm-hmm. You get them on the board, and you feel good about yourself. Instead, they decide we're going to bow up, and we're going to go hat on a hat. Well, the problem is your hat sucks. You don't have the guys up front to push your way into the end zone, and you got stopped.
What do you think of that, Shannon?
What about the Vikings game and the Packers game and those other games? You always say that you want to see what we have, and they did it. They see what we got, and first of all, you don't got nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about, see what we have. You've lost me. I wish I understood what you're talking about. Each play is a different situation. So last night, before the play, I would have kicked the field goal. Me, personally, I would not have gone for it there. They chose to. And guess what? It didn't work out well. Had you kicked the field goal there when Justin runs down the field at the end and we've got the ball in the red zone, you bring out Cairo Santos, you're winning the football game. Now, I know that you got to play the game in between that. Not everything can be in a test tube. And, well, if this happens, that happens. I get it. You should have kicked the field goal there.
San Antonio, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Cordell on ESPN 1000. Hey, Cordell.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's
hey,
up?
What's
two
cracking?
Things. Two things. One thing, maybe because we're in Texas and we listen to everything Chicago, and we might have gotten it mixed up. I agree with the last caller because I do believe that you guys are always, maybe it's not you guys, but you guys is all, we guys, us, are always saying, hey, we got to go for it. Stop playing chicken. And go for it and see what we got.
Yeah, there are situations that it calls for it.
Yeah, and I agree. So I think there might be some confusion because I felt the same way. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, gentlemen, was earlier in the show you said hats off to the defense because they did their job. I would disagree with you there. The defense did okay against a putrid freaking offense. And then when they mattered the most, they couldn't stop them, keep them out of the freaking end zone. So it's not hats off to the defense from us down here in Texas. I don't know about that guy, but I'm going to the freaking Dallas game. And I'm very scared that I'm going to have to – the only way I'm going to get a win is if I get into a fight with a Cowboys fan.
Hold on a second, Cordell. You said they couldn't keep him out of the end zone. We fumbled a punt at the 5.
No, that's two different plays, Cap. That's two different things. Maybe I'm confused, and it is early. I'm a little hungover,
They scored their only touchdown. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. They got 12 points.
Right.
They scored off the – Brian Robinson ran one in.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
They scored two touchdowns.
Yes.
And the other one was off the muff punt.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of the whole deal – you give up 12 points, you're supposed to win.
Yes.
12 points, your defense did enough against a crappy offense, yes, but they did their job. 12 points, you should win.
You want a shutout? I mean, they did as good a job as they could. We have been criticizing the defense, and rightfully so, for getting off to slow starts. In this situation, they did a nice job defensively.
Now, Urlacher had a great line I was informed of last night again.
Oh, really?
Urlacher said, okay, they scored 12 to beat us, then we should have held them to 6 if we only scored 7. It's on us. He said he would never pass blame on someone else.
Okay.
Period.
That's fine. That's fine. But the way this defense has played, I will give them their flowers this morning.
I agree.
Urlacher could say that because he was on a dominant defense. It's kind of like the 85 Bears talking about his generation, and the next generation talks about the next generation. That's fine. This defense, they deserve their flowers this morning. It's the only thing that held up this sad sack team. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Dre in Geneva on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. All right, Dre.
Good morning. Peace and blessings to you, fellas.
Peace and blessings to you, brother.
Peace.
Hey.
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Hey, Jay Hood, what kind of Remy you was drinking last night?
The cognac. It was a black dark bottle, red label.
Okay.
It's on my Instagram.
Okay, Just trying to see if you had the 1738 popping.
Not yet. No. It's a work night.
Did you ever open the Crown Blue that I bought you?
Of course.
For our anniversary?
Yes, it's gone now.
You finished that whole bottle?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough bear season.
That was an expensive bottle. Holy bleep.
I have expensive taste, pal.
I had a bone to pick with you, Jay Hood. I was questioning, were you questioning Justin Fields' overall accuracy or just last night?
Last night. I think that there's times where he could have been able to get down the field and be able to connect to his receivers. Not all the time, because, again, the number one storyline, Dre, is that the offensive line is not giving him an opportunity to be able to get the ball down the field. That's number one. He's not getting time. Second, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. Third, Justin is sometimes in between where it's like, should I run or should I throw? That's the hallmark of dealing with a young quarterback. Young offensive line, as far as Braxton Jones on that side, young in the secondary. So, yeah, there's always in between. Should I run? Should I throw? The experts want him to get the ball out in 3 seconds or less. You do it. You know
two
what?
And a half.
You know what? You take the football. You do it with that offensive line. See what happens. I mean, we're giving the stats, but the point is, though, look at what he's got to deal with.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he doesn't need work in certain areas.
No
and
question.
He doesn't make mistakes. He does. He doesn't hit some, as Tommy has pointed out multiple times, He doesn't take some of the easy throws. The one he went downtown to Mooney, he has a guy 8 yards over the middle, Herbstreit. We have that audio, right? Can we play that, please? Kirk Herbstreit on not taking a wide-open guy 8 yards down the field.
And this is a coverage sack, and it's one where Justin Fields, an area that he's got to grow. Look to the right and watch the protection. See, that's an open receiver. He's got to make that throw and put the ball out in front of his receiver. He just doesn't trust it. And this is an example of where he is right now in his development in his second year, where he doesn't trust that in the NFL, that is an open receiver, and he's got to let it rip.
There it is. Herbstreit on Amazon.
He's right. Mm-hmm. That's on Justin. He's got to be better there. But he's holding the ball 3.25 seconds, too long. The throwing motion, too loopy, too long. Got to get cleaned up. He also has PTSD because they do nothing to help this kid. Oh, everyone's all excited. N'Keal Harry's coming back. You mean the guy that Belichick gave up on, a 32nd overall pick, a first rounder for a 7? Stop, N'Keal Harry. Stop. Pringle, Equinemius St. Brown,
yes.
Amir Smith, Marset, Dante Pettis. But Cap, we have talent on the roster. How can you not see that? We're going to win 9 ball games. Oh, go to bed.
VSOP, by the way, at the Remy Martin. Coming up, we will hear from Courtney Cronin, the latest on the Bears from the locker room, and take more of your reactions to the Bears and their loss against the Washington Commanders 12-7 right here on ESPN.
I will give you a name of a player who's had a breakout season.
What's that?
I'm going to give you a name of a player when we come back, of a player who actually quietly is having a very good year.
All right, Shay, go ahead. We will hear from Courtney Cronin on the Bears coming up next here on Cap and Jay Hood. Friends, is your job recession-proof? Now might be the perfect time to switch careers and become an IT professional with My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Shay.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, where you can hear us everywhere. Abdallah and Meller will be in for Greeny at 10. Carmen and Yurko will be out and about. If you're in the St. Charles area, CC&J at the Pride Store in St. Charles, brought to you by Alto Equipment. Waddle and Sylvia 2, Tyler Aki in for Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 7:30 into Major League Baseball playoffs as the Dodgers take on the Padres right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN 1000. We bring her in. Cap, you know you've got a nugget for us.
Yeah, I want to get her thoughts. I know we'll go big picture with her. Courtney, 2:25 left in the game, 4th and 16. First it was 4th and 11, and then you get a false start. 4th and 16, why would Matt Eberflus go for it there with 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning? Punt the GD football.
Yeah, I know. That was one that in real time I was a little miffed about, too. I can't remember if he addressed that one post-game. But, yeah, that one was a little concerning, just given the time and the situation within the game.
Yeah, we just didn't understand. So give us your overarching view of this game. I mean, 12-7 loss. We gave the defense, for the most part, their flowers. But, Courtney, that offense, it just that dog just don't hunt. Yeah.
No, and I think what you're seeing, it's just that the realization that people are coming to now that this is it Fields or is it his supporting cast? And I think the answer is more clear now than it's been in previous games. I mean, they're in the low red zone 3 separate times, and they can't punch the ball in, and it was like 3 different ways of not being able to do that. Of course, you know, the turnover on the first one and throwing it into the guy's helmet, like live and even on the stat sheet, they credited Jonathan Allen with the tip and the interception. Now, obviously, it went off of the other defensive end helmet, but that's a bad play. And you've got to wonder, is that a mechanics issue? Is it just, you know, arm angle? Is that part of the red zone? We're trying to fit a pass in there over the middle. Like there's concern on that one. But then, you know, the second play in the red zone that, you know, really struck me, and I think is the one that Justin Fields wants back, is that second and third throw to Ryan Griffin. And, you know, looking back at it, I mean, you've got to make that throw. And he said it. He's an NFL quarterback. You have to make that throw. But I'm not sure, like, what happened on that, because I've watched that play back a couple times this morning, and it looked like Griffin slowed down a little bit. And I heard Keyshawn Johnson talking about it. He said he had gravy boots, just the way that he was moving. And, I mean, he's not the most, like, I guess it's what you kind of expect. He looked a little stiff. So I don't know if you put that as much on the quarterback or on the tight end there, but just a bad miscommunication. Like, that's the one that really sticks out to me. And, of course, the Mooney play at the goal line when he's talking about, you know, the lights in the stadium, he kind of lost the ball for a second. It's just, I don't know, if you have more talented playmakers around you, do they make those same sort of errors if it's still the same execution errors that sometimes are happening kind of on a repeated basis with the quarterback? Like, it's a perfect storm of things, but you are being able to see, at least, you know, from where his receivers let him down last week to what happened yesterday, that the supporting cast, like, he can't overcome the talent deficiencies around him, and this is kind of what you expect in spite of that.
Courtney, I feel like, look, is he too deliberate with the football at times? No doubt about it. He holds it for 3.25 seconds on average, which is the longest in the National Football League. Part of that is because guys aren't getting any separation down the field. I think part of it is because he has PTSD and he's looking around to see who's going to try and take his legs out on the next mm-hmm. hit. That all said, do you think that this team has a chance of doing anything had they gone out and spent money in the offseason? You had $10 million to throw at Riley Reiff, potentially. You had another million to throw at Michael Schofield on the eve of training camp. What? You had the Ogunjobi money back because he failed your physical. Why not do anything in the offseason to help your young quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. And I think it's when we look at, like, the, you know, where the blame goes, you can certainly assess it and pin it on the front office for what they didn't do. And I go back to what I said during the draft, because it is alarming when, you know, you take a look at what your receiving core looks like, you look at what your offensive line is going to be, or at least what you project it to be. And, you know, the fact that, I mean, nothing against Braxton Jones, but the fact that you have, like, a rookie fifth rounder from an FCS school starting at left tackle, you know, and that was your answer, like, it just shows you that they were not planning to do what I think some people thought they would have done this year to try to get a true evaluation of this quarterback, which is go all in and fix, you know, the talent deficiencies around Fields on offense. But there's a reason that they went and started with his mechanics before going out and spending big on receivers or trying to bring in more offensive linemen that would be, you know, a higher caliber than what they have right now. But I just keep going back to, and it's not trying to make an excuse for it, but they had so many talent deficiencies across the board. You have to remember how bad this secondary was last year. I think 27 of their 31 passing touchdowns allowed a cornerback was the nearest defender. Mm-hmm. So you can understand why Ryan Poles did what he did in the moment. Now, obviously, everybody can be, you know, an armchair quarterback in hindsight, but looking back on that, there were receivers that were left on the board. You know, George Pickens was available to this team, and he's doing great things right now in his rookie season. And I think people see that wondering, okay, did you leave Justin Fields hanging out to dry because you knew from the beginning that he wasn't your guy? Because this is supposed to be, it's not a throwaway year entirely. You have to have some sort of intel on your quarterback by the time 2022 is over. It's making his job that much harder. And we're not really, and they're not truly getting an evaluation on him, because it's almost impossible to do it with the cast of characters he has around him on offense.
Courtney, off of her appearance on BET, joins us here on Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, your thoughts on the Bears defense? You know, Cap and I, you know, gave the flowers to the defense for trying to hold the Commanders down. No matter what the Commanders have been going through offensively, that's a win for a team, a unit that starts off slowly. I thought they played well. What were your overall thoughts on their defense?
Yeah, I mean, you hold Washington to 214 yards, 12 points, and they go 2 of 11 on third down, and it was 0 of 6 in the first half. Like, the onus was not on them at that point. And, you know, the problem I'm seeing with this defense right now, they're struggling to generate pressure, and it's become like a routine thing. Yeah, they sat Carson Wentz three times. Carson Wentz gets in a drop-back game, so he leaves himself vulnerable to things like that. I think the encouraging sign at least in terms of the pass rush. I know that one, the third sack went to Al-Kadeen Muhammad, but that was all, that was a Justin Jones play. I mean, him, he's quietly having a pretty good season. So at least I think if you're the Bears and thinking about what you can, you know, carry forward, that's one thing that you could be happy about. But, you know, defensively, I think they played the run really well. This is not a great offense, though. So it's like, what are we judging? What are we basing this on? I mean, this is Carson Wentz and somebody who's been sacked a ton of times, somebody holds onto the ball too long. You know, a lot of the things that we talk about with Justin Fields, you see on the other side of that with Wentz. But, you know, I think that they did a good job outside of that, outside of the one play. I mean, and that was kind of, that was set up by Velus Jones' muff punt. They did a good job keeping them out of the end zone, and you can hang your hat on that. It's just the execution and some of the, like, the errors elsewhere. It's the snowball effect that even a good defensive performance can't overcome that.
Can you hang on? We're going to come back and talk with Courtney. We got to get an injury update. Justin was banged up beyond belief after the game last night. Bears fortunately off till the week from Monday when they play at New England, and then they play the following Sunday, so another shorter week in Dallas. Micah Parsons, stop salivating. Hey, it's Cap here. It's fall. Time to get your home cold weather ready. My good friends at Felco Window Sidings and Doors can help. I had them at my home recently. Mindy and I couldn't be happier for almost 50 years. Felco provided energy-efficient products specifically designed for the Chicago area. Improve the look of your home while helping to lower your heating and cooling bills. And now for the month of October, Felco's windows for 50% off, no money down, no interest till 2024. Say, hey, Cap sent me. They'll give you an additional 10% off for quality windows, siding and doors, and roofing. Call 866 for Felco.
We'll hear from Courtney Cronin here on the Bears just a moment as we find out about the injury report, and also hear from Ron Rivera, the coach for the Washington Commanders. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'Reilly.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
There it is again. Oh. There it is.
First take. There we go. Get up. Are the Bears failing Justin Fields? They already did.
All right,
Courtney. And that doesn't excuse his mistake.
I mean, but it's what we just talked about, Courtney. It's already on Get Up on the bottom line. Are the Bears failing Justin Fields? There you have it, right? There it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a national narrative, though, going back to April, maybe. Like, or let's say May, like after the draft, because once we knew the supporting cast that was going to be around him, you're looking at, you know, the experience and the lack thereof, and realizing that someone like Darnell Mooney, who had a terrific season last year, but he's probably not a number one in any other offense. There are guys that were thrust into roles that they probably wouldn't be on other teams. Let's just put it that way. So I feel like for months now, this has been the hot topic nationally because nobody's going in and diving into, you know, the other things and Fields' growth, because big picture wise, it looks like they're failing him right now, considering what's not around him.
In terms of looking at some of the game decisions, I know Matt Eberflus looks at his roster and goes, what do you want me to do here? I got nobody can catch the football, or they don't get any separation. But would you have kicked the field goal? I would have at the second possession in the first quarter. I would not have gone for it. And if I was going for it, I certainly would have had an extra offensive lineman in, blasting game at fullback, and I would have run David Montgomery, who's a more physical runner than Khalil Herbert. So that one bothered me, and then the punt we talked about.
Say it again, Courtney.
The Herbert one was interesting, because even post-game, Fields talked about, you know, handing it off to David Montgomery, and it's like, well, no, you didn't. You handed it off to Khalil Herbert, and he got stopped shy of the goal line. Maybe they're trying to ride the hot hand there. I mean, Herbert did rip off a 64-yard run on the first play from scrimmage that drive. And they've been pretty consistent in how they've used their running backs and realizing if one guy gets hot, that's who they're diverting back to. I mean, they did that against San Francisco when Khalil Herbert had a good game. Even with David Montgomery toting the rock the majority of the time, situationally, they kept going back to Herbert. So I don't know if it was a matter of that. you know, you just expect to punch the ball in there, though. So it's, you know, taking the points and, you know, kicking a field goal. I understand that logic entirely, and I'll be curious to see what Matt Eberflus says the analytics told him in that situation on the second possession. But you have to go back to that shot. That was a wide open touchdown for Ryan Griffin on second and third, and we shouldn't even have gotten to fourth down. He has 4.05 yards of separation. Field said it himself. He's an NFL quarterback. You have to make that throw. So,
agreed.
You know, at the end of the day, no excuse holds up to that when that was a wide open play. I mean, even Mooney on the before the bobble at the end, on second down that drive before the pass interference, no pass interference on Dante Pettis, you know, Mooney was open in the flat, and that ball was batted down at the line of scrimmage. It's just like poor execution on things like that prevents touchdowns from happening. Like, that's all self-inflicted right there. That's not anything I think that Washington was doing that was spectacular. Like, those issues in the low red zone, those are on mechanics. Those are on the players on the Bears roster themselves.
Okay, you got one more minute for us? Give us 60 seconds.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk about Ron Rivera, the head coach for the Washington Commanders, after the game. Now, we talked about earlier this week, Cap, the comments that he made. What's the difference between your team and the other team, the NFC East? And he said quarterback. And he kind of went into Carson Wentz and actually patted him on the back as well, saying, I've seen some good things from the quarterback that and all that, right?
Right, and he hasn't been here as long as the other guys have been.
It's a fair comment in that regard, right?
Agreed.
After the game,
I'm going to speak my mind for a second. For honestly, it's been hard. It really has. You lose four games in a row, and everybody wants to get you, you know, just get on you. And they've played their off. They have. They play their off for everybody. They come out and they show up. They work hard. All right. They don't complain. Okay. They hear all the stuff and they got to deal with it. I get that. And I respect them for that because they're resilient. They come back. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, bull. I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape in the freaking when we were at Indianapolis. Okay? And that's what pisses me off. Because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time.
Okay.
And then he said, enough, I'm out. He left.
Okay, well, Cap, I mean, you kind of started this fire by saying quarterback. You explained yourself, but at the same time, now you look at the game. It wasn't like they did anything special, anything offensively. You won a tough game in Chicago, fine. Well, but isn't he the guy that started this fire?
Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Ron Rivera was really frustrated about more than anything else was that Dan Snyder was getting, I guess if you want to call it credit, but he was getting the onus put on him in that investigative story that we had come out at ESPN.com yesterday that the Carson Wentz trade was apparently a Dan Snyder move. And I don't, you know, whatever, Ron Rivera going off post-game, then he walked off after that. Like, I like the part where he is like, I'm the guy who pulled out the sheets of paper, looked at the analytics, watched the tape when they're in Indianapolis, meaning at the combine. So I think that that's him trying to be like, this is my team, this idiot owner who's, you know, the bane of everyone's existence right now is not calling all of the football shots. The end of the day, of course, he pays the paychecks, but it's not, you know, Ron Rivera is still the one. This is his team, and I think it's a control thing more than anything else because it's your quarterback, and he caused a stir this week with his words. He wasn't careful with the way that he phrased that about the quarterback and then had to spend all week kind of walking it back, and he talked about having to, like, meet not just with Carson Wentz but the entire team to explain himself, and I think that was just, like, visible frustration that it's still a storyline, you know, after a game, but it should be a storyline after a game when the quarterback gets sacked three times, does not look good, your team wins 12-7, so you skate by, and the guy didn't even throw for 100 yards. Like, that's going to continue to be a storyline in Washington. Mm-hmm. Because Carson Wentz is not that good. Like, I don't know. I mean, not even Ron Rivera can spin that one or spin his way, you know, out of that one after trying to walk it back. I mean, it's pretty obvious last night, you know, who the better quarterback was, and I know that that's not saying much, considering what this game turned out to be. But Carson Wentz is incapable of that sort of play that Justin Fields made at the end of the game. And I know people took Matt Eberflus's comments about he saw improvement and ran with them. And, you know, like, what are you looking at? And statistically, no. Fields is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league right now. But that 39-yard run that he had to set up their chance to even, you know, have a chance to go win the game there at the end. Like, Carson Wentz isn't making that play. His athleticism limits what Washington is doing offensively. And if you're a Bears fan, you just wish that the Bears could capitalize on Fields' athleticism a little bit more.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Have a great weekend. A glass of wine, and I put the tape on.
Oh, man, we're going to be doing a whole lot of that today. So that's how we're celebrating this non-victory Friday, I guess.
Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
It's Courtney Cronin, and it covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, joining us here on Cap and Jay Hood. In 2 minutes, we get a chance to get your phone calls in. 312-332-3776 is our phone number, as we will get your thoughts in. Bill Bazoo was the winner of the Hawthorne package, by the way, from Bloomingdale. Bill Bazoo.
I used to work with him. How about that?
So congratulations to Bill there. Hey, we're going to get your calls in, and also Alex Brown's going to be with us.
Yes.
After every Bears game, we get a chance to talk to AB, his thoughts and your thoughts as the Bears lose to the Washington Commanders 12-7.
The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!